The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
Come on.
This is the second week in a row. I'm a big fan of this.
Welcome, everybody, to Podcast Beyond, episode 426. Unless that's the number we did last week.
Nope, I checked.
You checked?
I did it.
That's so much preparation. We did so much prep work for this show.
I did a lot of prep
work. Never goes off the rail. Welcome to Podcast Beyond. I'm Max Scoville. Joining me, Marty Sleaver.
I am so happy to be back, Max.
Alana Pierce.
Hey.
And Brian, the delinquent. Aldondo.
Brian Aldondo here.
Brett.
Barp.
What's up, guys? You guys went to CES.
We're back.
The Consumer Electronics Show of America. The world's largest habitat for weird curved TVs. And
yep.
That is just an awful little thing. Vegas is an awful little thing as a whole, but CES is a very, very weird show. This is my fourth in a row.
Did
it
you
was
see
your guys' first.
Yes.
It is the weirdest show to cover.
Did you see the PlayStation 5 up close and personal?
Yeah, we took it. Yeah, we met the PlayStation 6.
The new double Vita?
Yeah.
Mm. So Vita that folds Vita. Open and there's just two Vitas
there's
on top of each other?
Yeah.
No, but like it's kind of a weird show that I've gathered kind of from a distance. I've never actually been, but I've known a lot of people who've gone. Mm-hmm. It's not really a show for gaming, but you can find some stuff there.
Yeah. It can look really hot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of TVs and phone cases and headphones and just tons of marketing that looks identical, and like these posters of women holding dogs, and it's like, listen better. I'm like, I have no idea what they're trying to sell.
It's kind of amazing. The theme of CES is just like, what the hell is that thing?
Yeah.
Like that's what CES should be called, is what the hell is that thing? So there's stuff around gaming, like there's televisions and headphones. Mm-hmm.
And we did a lot of VR stuff.
A lot of cool TVs.
Yeah. Controllers. Actually. VR was obviously a huge thing there, even if we still don't know how big it's going to be in real life. Everything seems bigger than it is in the fake reality of a trade show in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But we got the Oculus price basically the moment the show started.
Yeah.
So that kind of set the tone.
That
600 big round American dundles.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and we were sort of expecting that PSVR might also have a bigger splash at the show, and it didn't. Like, they had some demos, but it was demos we'd already seen. They had Until Dawn, Rush of Blood, and they had the Getaway heist demos on Playroom. But
you were saying a lot that Sony's been kind of doing this strategy the last few years, which is very smart, which is just kind of like wait and see. It's like watch the frog jump into the boiling hot pot of water.
Yeah,
or whatever.
I mean, they got so burned with the PS3 by doing that $600 crab fest.
$599 US.
I definitely think they waited to hear other people's prices before picking PSVR.
Yeah, they did that with PS4 and with Xbox One, and I think they're doing it again now, but I think sooner rather than later, probably GDC, we'll learn more about PSVR. Although I've been saying that for like the last four conferences, so
I wonder. Yeah, same actually. I'm like, oh, it's going to be this one, surely.
Yep.
But we're going to get in some very specific VR talk later.
Good. I'm glad that it won't be weird and uncomfortable.
No, it's definitely going to be weird and
uncomfortable.
Jealous
to not be there. let's see. What does the note say on this piece of paper? Andrew has a bunch of newsy garbage to do, so Alana's taking his place to talk about CES and definitely dogs or some swear word.
Yeah, so you guys want to chat about dogs?
No.
Yeah, so you guys saw dogs at the convention?
I don't even know if
we saw some robo dogs.
Oh, no, we did
you
see one
did a video
I
with a dog.
A dog.
You interviewed
a dog. There weren't really many dogs in Vegas.
A gamer dog?
Yeah, big old gamer dog.
We did meet a gamer dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did an interview about a video game console for dogs, which they also got cats to use, which is basically...
And there's a console war?
Apparently, there's no fanboys in the animal kingdom. They just
fan pups.
I feel like fan animals.
It's the idea of that console, which is like something like $300. It's pretty expensive. Yeah. Is that you entertain your pets while you're away from the house.
Yep.
Cats don't really have that problem.
And
they don't like tear up backyards.
Is right. When human beings go extinct from being useless.
Yeah.
Because no one needs that.
Yeah.
It's true.
But CES was a show. We did something like 35, 40 videos. And it was mostly, some of them were really serious and the most of it was trying to find weird things. Mm. And I think we did a pretty good job of that. So check some of those out.
Cool. So last week we sort of did this weird show where we didn't really have much to talk about because we were just starting out the new year and everyone's kind of just, you know, waking up from cryosleep.
And there was no big news yet.
Yeah. Do you guys have any 2016 predictions? We haven't really touched on that. Yeah. I saw you writing on your back of your
paper.
Yeah,
so each one of us came up with three at the behest of Marty, who said, actually think about these. Don't just BS in the room. I did a little of both.
Yeah.
So anyway, here's a bold one I'm going to write out the gate. PS4 will outsell Xbox One in the U.S. for the first 6 months of 2016. Now, PS4 outsold Xbox One for most of 2015, but I was looking at the sort of release calendar for both of these systems, and I think that PS4 is kind of in the lead with this for the first quarter or two quarters or halves.
For releases?
Yeah, for releases. It's kind of another quiet time for Xbox One.
I mean, Uncharted.
Yeah. I mean, we have Uncharted in April. Yep. We also have Quantum Break in April, so that's sort of Uncharted's going to be bigger than Quantum Break.
Am I correct in saying that I read something that said that this is going to be the last Uncharted game that Naughty Dog make? I feel like...
They had a quote about sort of how this is the definitive end of Nathan Drake's character arc.
They kind of said it'll be hard to do more Uncharteds with Nathan Drake after this game, which kind of implied that...
So there are going to be more Uncharted. Yeah.
Either
there
he dies
will
or
undoubtedly
he gets
more
hurt
Uncharted.
Real bad.
Not necessarily.
I would
Naughty
like
Dog.
It if it was the last one, but...
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. I don't know.
I would like it if it was the last one, too. I'm totally cool with that. Yeah. It's one of the reasons I love The Last of Us so much was because they just went in a complete diagonal from everything they'd been doing the last few years.
I wouldn't
that.
Object to a Last of Us 2 not having the same protagonist.
I am 100% with you
they
on that.
They made more games in that specific universe. Yeah. That would be awesome.
Also, like, have it, like, what's going on in Europe at the time?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on in Asia at the
time? Yeah, no, I love the idea of taking a tragedy like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't
like
mind if they Assassin's Creed it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And moving the needle. I mean, it's what the... what was the 30 days stupid zombie 28 movie?
Days later.
28 days later. I don't know why I said 30. But they move the needle around on those a lot. Even with Fear the Walking Dead, which I don't think works at all.
No.
It's a good idea.
Concept.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. To sort of pull back a little bit. Number two, Chewbacca will come to Star Wars Battlefront by March 1st as a playable hero.
Wow. That's very specific.
That is very specific.
I totally think that they've been teasing hero stuff for a while, and we know that new ones are coming. And they said over Christmas break that they are not doing any Force Awakens stuff, which a lot of people were bummed out about. I'm kind of in the middle on it. I have a feeling that that's sort of a Disney thing. I think Disney's kind of being careful with where they put those characters right now. That being said, if you're going to mine from anything, the original trilogy, pretty good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
But that does narrow down.
The same as that, you know, outrage with Rey not being in the Monopoly.
Possibly.
It could be similar that maybe Disney are trying to control how much Force Awakens stuff gets into
Who knows? Because they also put Finn and Kylo Ren in that Monopoly. So
Kylo Ren as well? I knew Finn was. Damn, okay.
Well, they called that, their excuse out of that one was this
was
is a
Vader
definitive,
well.
It's a Star Wars Monopoly, not Force Awakens. And this is called Star Wars Battlefront. And I think like in terms of original trilogy planets, like we haven't seen anything on the Death Star. Like it'd be cool to have a trench run stuff or even just like shootouts in some sort of area that they built.
It'd be really cool.
Endor would be super weird, like shoehorn a fake war that happened on Endor, like the rescue of Yoda or whatever, to make something up. But in terms of heroes, you really only have, on the good side,
you mean
have...
Dagobah?
That's what I meant, Dagobah, I'm sorry. On the hero side, you only really have Obi-Wan and Chewbacca and like a couple other good guys that haven't been put in that game yet. And on the bad guy side, you have all the bounty hunters, which I think would be really cool. Like, they're not going to do C-3PO.
You want Dengar?
I want Dengar in that game so bad.
Yeah.
So bad, it hurts.
And it's cool because you've never really seen him fight in any of the movies. So those just make up stuff for him.
He's a big, fat, dumb, homeless mummy.
Fight his own hideous hangover.
Yeah, I know.
Why are you thinking Mosh Fest?
Because they are totally slacking on how soon they need to get this DLC out, and they need to get an announcement out, I think, by the end of this month. Because a bunch of people bought the season pass, and the only thing we've gotten out of DLC-wise has been Jakku, which was free.
That was a pre-order bonus. That was for everybody.
Yeah, Max and I bought the season pass, and I fought on the show for why it was a good idea, even though I very well knew it probably wasn't. And I'd like to maybe have my $50 justified in some capacity.
No, that seems fair.
Yeah. Number three, we will get concept art or title, very early stuff, or even just a theme for Kojima's new game by summer.
Interesting.
Now, they just formed that studio. I don't see this happening anytime soon. I don't see us getting gameplay footage or anything outlandish like that. But sort of a character design or...
I was like, wait, summer? So December next year? And then I'm like, oh, different hemisphere.
Yeah.
That's,
wow.
What, June is summer here?
Wait, yes. Where is summer in...
It's the opposite. It's December. She moved here from summer.
It would be summer right now in Australia.
That's why she's always wearing a jacket.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I should have known that, but I didn't because I didn't pay attention to any of that
stuff.
Did
someone not believe me one time?
Really?
Like, yeah, it's currently.
Okay, so Kojima's
winter.
New game.
Yeah, sorry.
I think a title is a very good, good bet there.
Yeah. Andrew and I are going to go. We're going back to that awful little city called Las Vegas in 3 weeks for DICE, which is sort of this summit of developers and publishers and really amazing people in the industry that somehow they allow a couple press people to go to. And Kojima is being given the Lifetime Achievement Award by Guillermo del Toro, and they're going to have this giant, like, hour-long sort of, like, fireside
chat. He's giving
chat.
Him a small Norman Reedus statue.
He's a little boy who got stuck in a hallway and couldn't get out because he might have killed his wife or someone else killed someone's wife.
He's going to give him a commemorative photograph of J.J. Abrams that's been autographed by Norman Reedus.
Yeah.
And he's going to be like, here you go, and then Kojima's going to sign it, and then del Toro's going to sign it, and then they're going to hold hands.
Yeah, it's so meta.
But yeah, I don't know. This was a couple years ago. J.J. Abrams and Gabe Newell did the same thing, and that's where they announced their partnership and that Portal movie that came out, that Half-Life movie that came out.
We talked about this last week a little bit.
Those movies were incredible. Those are some of my favorite movies of 2015.
Yeah, I remember waiting in line. I was playing Bioshock Vita for like 3 or 4 hours just waiting for that movie to come out. It was great.
It was lovely. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe they'll drop something there. Maybe Kojima will get real liquored up.
I definitely see a Kojima thing happening at E3 at the very least.
Yeah.
It's going to be something, and In the interview that we did, I don't think he alluded to a genre, but when asked about stealth action, he sort of had an awkward laugh in response. I'm taking that as confirmation, but it could be anything.
Would you say that he gave a stealth action with his coy laughter?
Very stealth action.
Laughter is an
response.
Action. And
an exclamation point action formed above his head.
It's super early for all this stuff, obviously. This studio is just being formed. They're probably just bringing in the kind of creative people. I think of all the predictions I said, that's the one that's totally jumping the gun the most.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I could totally see that during the Sony conference. Like, just as much as we had that little Shenmue teaser for a game that's not going to come out for 9 years. We could totally see something.
That's kind of what I'm expecting. Even Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yeah.
How long ago was that now?
Yep.
The Lost Guardian.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last Guardian's kind of real, though.
Well,
that's
at least
good.
It's coming.
Yeah. Alana, do you have any cool predicts?
I'm thinking that we're going to get...
I shortened the word predictions and it sounded pretty...
It sounded horrible.
Just roll right through it, guys. Go roll right through it. It's fine. It's fine.
I think there's going to be an Until Dawn 2. I feel like that's probably going to be announced sooner than we think it is.
So separately from the VR experience?
Totally,
thing.
Yeah. Okay. I almost feel like to redeem the VR experience, which I don't think is going to be very good.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to announce it Until Dawn 2.
I
was going to say something about Kojima as well.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of mine. And then the last one is, I'm really hoping for a price for PSVR soon.
Yeah. Like by summer?
That would be nice.
Winter?
So
they're going to announce the price a year after everyone buys it, which is really crazy. It's going to break a lot of economies.
Yeah.
Take it home from the store, and then they bill me later.
It blinds you if you haven't paid for it.
Yeah. I mean, so that's sort of – I have a PSVR too. I think that it's at GDC they're going to announce that it's going to be $400 and it's going to come bundled with No Man's Sky.
Yes.
And I think
totally
it'll be out. And I think it'll be out.
That would be a huge move.
And I think it's going to come out right at the beginning of June. I think it'll come out right before E3.
Man.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's I love that.
That's a single real deep little prediction.
I feel maybe they are even waiting for No Man's Sky before they release it. That could be something they're doing. They're sitting on No Man's Sky because they need a really strong release title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I've heard...
Oculus has more already.
Yeah. I've heard from a couple of developers, and I don't know how to take it with a grain of salt, that PSVR was done a couple months ago. And that the reason they didn't pull the trigger on it for the fall, Sony had a very weak first party fall lineup,
right?
Especially compared to Microsoft. Obviously, it didn't matter, but they sort of slotted in that PSVR was going to be ready then, and they just didn't have the software to back it up.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so I've heard from a couple of people that that's sort of why it's been held off on. I don't know if that's true or not.
Which is smart, right? Like, I think if you launch that thing with tons of software, but also like tons of playable demos, you're going to get people that go out and get them.
Yeah.
Demos are always a good thing, but they like they launched the PS4 with just a handful of first-party games, and it wasn't really enough, honestly. Mm-hmm. Although, yeah, it sold well, and we've talked about how Knack outsold Mario 3D World, even though it's an infinitely worse game. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's also, there's no God, so that's why. Yeah. we solved that one.
So I think you're right. If they're treating this thing like a console launch, like launch it with yep. a good strong. Family of software.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that Uncharted 4 is going to get delayed one more time to November.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yes. And I think it's sort of this death by a thousand cuts that the game's having through delays. Mm. I don't know. I just get the feeling this happened with The Last of Us. It had a couple delays. And I just think that this if this is Nathan Drake and / Naughty Dog's swan song for right. the Uncharted series, that
they're going to want it to be good.
They want it to be good.
Just, I feel like that must terrify the marketing because, you know, they plan for marketing as soon as they start working on those games, and then they have to stretch it out and roll it out much further, mm-hmm. and it just loses the hype.
Like, yeah, I mean, totally.
I feel like marketing teams would fight back really hard against that.
I threw a prediction in the podcast Piggy Beyond Tailing? Group over Piggy Tail on that, over Winter Break, that I said that I have a feeling that Uncharted 4 on Metacritic will rank lower than Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Interesting.
When all said and done.
Yeah.
Which makes it one of the lower Uncharted games. Which again is like an 89 and 88. Not yeah. bad. And if I'm wrong in that prediction, that's an awesome thing to be wrong about
because
that just means that game's better.
Why are you yeah. thinking that?
I just have this weird sort of like premonition about the road to this game's release. How it's been kind of rocky and some stuff mm-hmm. I've heard from some people and how it's switched tone. It's changed tonally a lot.
Right.
A lot of creative people have come and gone. There's been some delays, and delays are usually for the better,
yes,
obviously.
Yeah, I usually take delays the opposite way. Where
totally.
When this comes out, it's actually going to be really
yeah.
good because yeah. it's been delayed, but
yeah.
it's not always the case.
I think there's something to be said for just returning to Uncharted after Last of Us. Like the fact that Nathan Drake is this blockbuster action movie character,
yeah.
and that they went to this really dark place, and now they're coming back, and they're sort of trying to take this mostly fun character, mass murderer
darker,
though he is.
Actually.
Yeah,
yeah. I hadn't considered like maybe they are taking inspiration from The Last of Us and putting
it
into Nathan Drake, and that is weird.
There's also the fact that like you know Uncharted's always been a very cinematic experience, and it's been pretty linear, and obviously they've got you know dialogue options now, but I mean Tomb Raider's open world-ish, you
yeah.
know? And there's exploration and a lot more kind of like you're a lot more engaged with your environment.
And there's sure. RPG elements.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know. And I mean, yeah, I think that the last Tomb Raider kind of, you know, people received that really well, though it was compared really heavily to, you know, to the Uncharted games.
Yeah,
and
they've
I
had
think we're,
they've had that volley back and forth for a while.
Yeah,
right.
We're also at a point where it's kind of standard for games to be open world-ish
yeah.
with kind of, you know, customization, RPG yep. elements, and like just a lot of player interaction. And I'm wondering if maybe this will be like, you know, too simple. Not that that's the right word here, but like
I think that's it, like or too streamlined almost.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah,
what
I just
would
think
happen
that,
if Uncharted 1 came out now? I feel like that probably wouldn't be received that well.
Oh no, not at all. It's almost too
basic.
Linear.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
linear.
Yeah.
Is
so
yeah.
Ex Machina, super good movie.
Great,
really,
movie.
Really good movie.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that movie after watching the entirety of the show Black Mirror, which
yeah.
is
also
an
great.
Incredible series.
Did you watch the Christmas episode? With,
I haven't seen that.
John
Hammond.
Oh,
anyway.
We watched
I was
that
saying,
on Christmas.
I've stop it. I've said a bunch of times that if I hadn't seen Black Mirror before Ex Machina would have been way more impressive because
totally.
They're very
yeah.
very similar in terms of tone and in terms of subject matter. But like one was just sort of like, hey, I've seen this a lot more variety here.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that we're going to see a similar thing happen with Tomb Raider Uncharted. And it's
yeah.
not going to mean that one's better than the other, but critically speaking,
it
I think that
affected.
You're.
It's catching people at the right time. That
yeah.
being said, I mean, to play devil's advocate to my own prediction here, 2014 or 2015 was way heavy on open world games. And I think
yeah.
a lot of people
yeah.
came out of 2015 a little burnt out on that.
Exhausted,
and probably,
totally.
And mm-hmm. they want something that's just a little more focused, I guess.
Yeah.
So we'll see where this one lands. Yeah. I mean, we've seen some stuff and some hints here and there that this is going to be more open than any Uncharted game.
I mean,
game
The Last
seen.
Of Us had a lot of really open environments.
Yes, which I love.
Totally not open world, but it
yeah.
felt open a lot of the time.
Yeah, and
I
you could
like they'll probably do that in Uncharted.
Yeah, and you could stray off the beaten path and
yeah.
find a lot of like environmental storytelling,
yeah.
collectibles, and things
I
like
love
that.
I love that stuff. It also
yeah.
gave you ways to play through levels differently, whereas Uncharted
yes.
has kind of been predominantly like,
been
there's that cliff.
Shoot
I'm
the right thing at
yeah.
the right time.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So this is, I mean, to kind of go back to this, I think the order in which things are experienced is a huge deal.
Totally.
I actually realized this. I played Tomb Raider, the first one, before I played Uncharted 2.
Hmm.
Oh, wait, you mean the Tomb Raider
reboot
from 2009?
Okay.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like,
Sounds like the original Tomb Raider.
Yeah,
game.
No, no. And then so and stuff that really, really impressed me in Tomb Raider Reboot. I played Uncharted and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, look at The Last of Us compared to Walking Dead. Like, it's kind of a moot point because they're both Game of the Year winners. People love them.
Yeah.
You know, both of them. But imagine if Last of Us had come out before Telltale's Walking Dead.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a really good point.
Like, because that kind of like, hey, here, serious emotion with zombies on the side. Like,
yeah.
Well, I always look at it like, Cliff Bleszinski talked about how much Resident Evil 4 influenced Gears of War. And then Gears of War was like way heavy, over the top, violent, third person, over the shoulder shooter with cover based stuff and just tons of huge weapons. And then Resident Evil 5 was like totally inspired by all the sort of weaponry in Gears of War. Mm. And there's that kind of creative volley that goes back and forth.
Oh, Uncharted and Tomb Raider have been doing that for 100%. 15 years.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Not 15 years. Seven, yeah. 10 years.
I think that's a really interesting point, though, in that the order that you play games can affect how much you like them.
And yeah.
Like, I'm just hoping that people paralleling The Last of Us to being like what I'm hoping Uncharted 4 will make it better rather than worse.
Right.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Which is the way I felt weird about the Uncharted collection for a lot of people, because I know a lot of people only played Uncharted 2 and they got that collection and they went back to 1 and it was like, ooh.
But it's one of those put yourself in time and place. Like, be a new PS3 owner that we don't have these series.
It's
like, same thing with Assassin's Creed 1. Like, put yourself in the time and place and realize what this was and the building blocks it was making.
Assassin's Creed 2 to Assassin's Creed 1 would be really hard.
Yep.
I mean, try
I don't think anyone's
Oblivion,
ever done it.
Oblivion after Skyrim.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't work.
Totally.
Yeah.
A lot of people were like, I don't know, like if I hadn't ever played Fallout 3, I think Fallout 4 would have wowed me a lot more. Mm-hmm. Like, I would have been a lot more tolerant.
But I also kind of think that it does the reverse. I think if you played Fallout 4, you'd still enjoy New Vegas and Fallout 3.
Right.
True.
I think.
Well, it's kind of like the way you and I are with the Far Cry series, where you got super into Far Cry 3, and I only played it for like an hour or two, and I was like, I get it. And then I went and played 4, and was like, this game is awesome.
See,
and
I had
all
the
things.
Oh,
really?
The total opposite, where I love 3, and then 4, I was like, I'm so bored because it's so similar to 3.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's what somebody asked me if they love Far Cry 4, should they go back and play 3? And I was like, I can't answer that because I've never had that.
That's so weird. I was so in love with Far Cry 2, and I could not get into 3 or 4.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, that makes sense because it's a totally different game.
Yeah.
Far Cry 2 is very, very different. And if you're expecting Far Cry 2 to be in 3 and 4, you're not going to get
that
at all.
Yeah.
And 3 and 4 are so similar.
I had no malarias. I had zero malarias.
Blood Dragon is great.
Yep. I don't like Blood Dragon.
Oh, that's right. Weird. I know.
I'm a monster. My last prediction is that some morning in the next couple months, we're going to wake up and Rockstar will have revealed Red Dead Redemption 2 coming out this fall.
Oh, God.
Like, literally, we're just going to wake up and there's going to be a trailer.
Is that a thing they have a history of doing?
Yeah, that was. We woke up and GTA 5 was revealed.
Yeah, we had the slightest heads
up
on that.
That's how that happened?
Yeah. It was not. And they don't do E3. They don't do big conferences.
Yeah, I know. I find that. I mean,
we're just
going to
wake up some morning and there's going to be a 5-minute narrated trailer.
No, I remember like we were talking to them about exclusives back in the day, and they're like, we'll give you a couple screenshots. And because they knew that those would do better than.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Like, some people will give you an exclusive trailer. Rockstar's kind of like, trust us, this will be enough.
Yeah.
And we just put it, it's like, here's a shark.
Yeah. And I think I think Red Dead
will
hit that GTA 5 slot, which is September. So I think it'll be like the first fall game.
I'd be so
it'll
happy. Be
yeah, I'm like,
I wasn't expecting that this year, though.
I'm so geeked out by the notion of a game that looks as gorgeous as The Witcher, but is Wild West themed, like with the right music to that.
Like, you'll customize your own horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like horses?
No, they're all right.
I really wish we'd get some GTA story DLC.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get it.
Think
so.
At all?
I don't know.
I mean,
they are focusing on online a lot.
It's hard to say because they've fleshed out online so much, and that continues to be such a completely, like that is an MMO about real life.
Yeah.
There were two story DLCs for Fall?
Yeah. Ballad of Gay Tony and Lost in the Damned.
So I only played Ballad of Gay Tony, and I loved that.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome,
Like, if they gave two for that one, I can imagine that they would do at least one.
Yeah. But not only that, but there was effectively side stories for a bunch of the GTAs before that, even if they were standalone products, like Liberty City stories and stuff like that.
Yeah. So
still something they've like had a history of doing.
I don't know if you guys read the story, but just like an hour ago, it was announced that Leslie Benzies, who was the lead designer at Rockstar North, left after 20 years.
20 years.
And that was like the person who's like thumbprint, like aside from the Housers, is most on Rockstar North's games since GTA 1. So,
he kind of set the direction and tone for a lot of their creative decisions over the last 2 decades.
So
20 years is a long time.
20 years is absolutely. So, don't view that as the house is on fire. This isn't a Konami thing.
Yeah.
This is just,
I
could not imagine doing
a
job for
him. He's joining Kojima.
Yeah, he's going to make a cool game about a robot.
That would be nuts.
So, predictions. I want to echo yours about Uncharted being delayed, but I want to take that out to something else that we are aware of. Something that we have been told is going to come out at a certain point, or just we're kind of vague on a lot of stuff. Something will
shoot for a fall release and we'll get pushed and we will get pissed off at it. I don't know if that's The Division or
Last Guardian.
If that's Last Guardian. I mean, I think that they're very,
like that,
being kind of
safe
about
one.
That
happens every year, right?
Exactly. Like, that's a pretty safe prediction.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to say The Last Guardian will get delayed because we don't have a release date for it this year, but if you're saying it'll be a 2017 game, then, man, I wish we had never even seen it last year.
I think there's a better chance. If something's going to get delayed that we saw at E3, I think it's going to be Horizon and not Last Guardian.
See, that's exactly one of those things that we are sort of calling a 26 game unofficially. We're like, yeah, man, I think we're
Horizon being delayed makes a lot of sense. Actually,
because all we've seen from it is like one really cool looking dino fight.
And well, we've seen two now.
It's been the same dino fight in two different ways.
I think that game looks awesome.
One was a girl though. She had a little like a Miss Pac-Man bow on top of her head.
Yeah,
the only way
that's how girl dinosaur robots differentiate.
That's how you tell sexes in the dinosaur town.
Also,
it's important.
Big old mechanical longuses.
Okay. He did have a taint that you had to shoot.
Okay.
I thought you'd like that.
A glowing
okay.
What else you got, Max?
Stop it. Another prediction. Homefront, The Revolution. We've seen a bunch of that. That's kind of been in the works for a while. That was, I think, a Crytek game at one point, and then it was not. It's a sequel to a THQ game, except it isn't.
I don't know what you're going to say, but it got a release date today.
It got a release date, which is May 17th.
Yeah.
My prediction is that it's going to go big or it's going to go home in terms of reviews. It is either going to be one of those like, wow, I'm really surprised at how good this is, or I hate this game. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't think it's going to fall in the...
It's not going to be mediocre.
I don't think it's going to fall in the 6 and 7s. I could be totally wrong here, but I
think
it's
going to...
So
a 5 or a 9, basically?
Yes.
Yeah. 5 or 8, yeah.
I think it's going to be like either one of those things that people are totally surprised by or just completely disgusted by.
You know, the last game that was totally definitively like that was Thief.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you guys remember that? Like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
That game, Thief, the Thief reboot they put out
a few years ago. Yeah, I was like, people gave that high scores?
Some people really, really liked it, and some people absolutely despised it, and it was one of those kind of...
I enjoyed that game a lot. Like, I had fun playing it, but I feel like critically it wasn't very good.
Right.
Like,
right.
On paper, that's, you know, it has really crappy environments that let you not approach things creatively, which is the most important thing in a stealth game like that.
If that game, if that game came out before Dishonored,
it would have made a huge difference. That's a really good example. Yeah. And it is obviously inspired by Dishonored.
Oh, yeah.
Which is...
Yeah, I mean, what Arkane did with Dishonored sort of like... It was like, well, now if we're making an open world stealth game, we have to regard this game.
Yeah.
Like, it sort of changed everything.
Yeah.
I think they actually said that, like, you know, Dishonored was inspired by the original Thief games, and then Thief was inspired by Dishonored. And I'm like, well, I really hope that Dishonored 2 isn't inspired by Thief.
Yeah.
I smell an IGN list coming out. 9 games that just do
inspired by Thief.
Yeah.
What blank can learn from blank. What Call of Duty can learn from Warcraft.
It's an iterative medium.
Yeah.
Okay, so. We mentioned this sort of. Actually, should we do this? Let's talk about some Game of the Year stuff.
Yeah,
I want to talk about how you guys did VR porn, but we're gonna come back to that.
Yeah, we're gonna get to it. That's
So our Game of the Year was Witcher 3. Yeah, that was the big winner.
Yep.
That seems about right. You know.
Yeah, I'm totally.
So for full disclosure, which I don't know if we say this, Witcher 3 won just barely over Bloodborne.
Yeah.
And so the way I don't even know if we say this, but it doesn't matter. The way IGN votes for Game of the Year is that there's a group of us. It's probably about 20 people, and it's generally people, critics, so people who have review games or have reviewed games in the past.
Right.
Like Brian doesn't review games anymore because he's a host, but he has reviewed games in the past.
Right.
We gave a top three out of the list of 10. So of
and
the
they
10,
were, yeah, and we assigned points, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so if you gave a game your first place, it got X points. If you gave a game a second place, it got fewer than X, and third place was that. And so it was... Yeah, tallied up, and whatever game got it. So
yeah, Bloodborne was extremely close behind. Obviously, it won PS4's Game of the Year, which is always weird when you're like, well, there's an exclusive that won here, or a multi-platform game that won here but didn't win overall.
Yeah.
One of the weird things we saw, and all of us were so hot on this game, was Metal Gear Solid 5. Mm-hmm. I don't even think cracked the top 3 or 4. It might have been the 5th most popular game.
Yeah, I think Fallout was number 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it was Tomb Raider. It might have been Witcher 3, Bloodborne, Tomb Raider, Fallout, Metal Gear.
Yeah.
I mean, Metal Gear probably ranked poorly, again, because The Witcher 3 ranked so well, and they're both similar genre.
Right.
So people are like, well, we already have one of those that's real great.
Yeah, and I think I was talking about this with Fallout, and I think
Fallout's the same.
Metal Gear, where these are games that people didn't really finish. They just kind of stopped playing.
Yeah. Mm.
So ultimately, the final note you hear in that concert's a little sour, and you leave it.
Well, Konami didn't finish it either, so.
Totally. No, yeah, totally. So I think that's a big fault. But we gave it a 10 out of 10. So you would look at the paper and be like, well, IGN gave this game a 10 out of 10. Why didn't it win Game of the Year? It was highest reviewed game of 2015. Because there's
mathematically criticized.
Yeah. Well, also because one person reviews a game. Right?
Yeah.
And
no, I was
Vince
actually,
totally backed up his 10 out of 10.
Like, yeah, totally. I was talking to Vince about this earlier, and it's weird because also, like, when you review a game and it hasn't come out yet and there's no discussion, it's not live in the ecosystem. It's sort of like it is an animal in captivity. I was talking to Vince, and he's like, yeah, Witcher 3 was totally my number one. Like, he asked me, like, what were my, like, top two, because he knew that they would be neck and neck for Witcher and Metal Gear. And he was like, you know, I gave a perfect score to, sorry, I know he hates that term, a 10 out of 10 to Metal Gear, but...
The highest possible score.
Yeah. Right. But I think, you know, he's like, yeah, but Witcher 3 was my game of the year. And I was like, you
and
know,
he reviewed
well,
both, right?
See, I was like...
I think he said that. I might back
up. My game of the year on paper was The Witcher 3. My favorite game that I played last year was Until Dawn.
Yeah.
So, it's like you have like a critical analysis and then like a personal.
What does that mean? We're making up weird categories in our own brains.
For me with Until Dawn was like, I recognize that there are tons of problems with this game that mean that I wouldn't recommend it to everyone, but I played it with my mom and I had this amazing experience that I'll remember forever. So it was like I'm ranking my experience, which was like based on really specific things, to everyone's going to love this because it's great.
Criticism and personal taste can coexist.
Yeah,
I think is the key thing there.
Yeah.
Witcher 3 is one of the best games I've ever played. It is like it's a fantastic RPG. It's just it feels polished.
Incredible.
It works. There's a lot going on there, and I would say that maybe like 95% of the things it attempts to do, it does successfully or at worst competently.
Sure.
Like there's nothing in there that's just busted.
That's exactly why I put it above Fallout, was because it's like they do a lot of similar stuff. Witcher 3 does everything just little bit better.
Yeah. Like they took a step back and they were like, is this working? And it, you know, it does. You know?
Yeah.
Metal Gear Solid 5 is, I would say it's top five games of all time for me. Like it's cracked that. It has cracked my favorite games of my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It feels like a game that was made specifically for me. I don't know if I'll ever have that. But it's not my game of the year.
Right.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Well, so
I
was the same way.
I had a lot more intense experiences in that than I did in Witcher, but I still think Witcher's a better game.
Oh, totally.
It's confusing.
The highs in Metal Gear for me were like unmatched. I mean, Bloodborne came close. Like killing
true.
A boss in
That's
Bloodborne
a good point.
Was about as high as like successfully sneaking out of a base without getting spotted by 50 different guards, and then like Fultoning a horse out of there. Like that, nothing really topped that for me.
So what were your three? How did you vote?
So my three were let's see. My three favorites were Tomb Raider, Bloodborne, and what was the third
Mario
one?
Maker?
Metal Gear Solid. Mario Maker actually, like, everything was there for that game to be exactly perfect for what I wanted it to be for me, and it just didn't land the way I wanted it to. I think because ultimately my experience was soured by most of the levels I played were the user-generated ones that were autoplay, like hold right. There was a lot of Rube Goldberg machines people built in that game, which are gorgeous and fun and so cool to check out for the first time, but the 100th time of their kind of broken at the time discovery tool leading you to another, here's a music level, like here's a soundtrack from Street Fighter made out of Yoshi's or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like that stuff's fun and all, but I really wanted, what that game proved to me honestly was that nobody makes a platforming game like Nintendo does.
Yep.
Yeah.
And when you give that, you empower the audience with that technique and that skill,
it's still not enough.
Yeah. Like you still need the pros. You can give Jimi Hendrix guitar to anybody, but like he's not going to play it the same way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But back to what you were saying, Alana, like my favorite game of 2015, the one I played the most and had the most fun with, was Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that would have been a complete throwaway vote. That's a Ross Perot in an election.
Also,
like
you
this,
literally
right?
couldn't have even voted for it because it wasn't one of the 10.
I think it wasn't even in our top 10, right?
So. That's because you love Star Wars.
Yeah, well, I just really love that game. I love Star Wars and I love arcade shooters, and it just totally nailed it for me. And I know a lot of people like say EA is a bunch of pieces of whatever.
They've
a
made
wallet.
A lot of really good games.
Yeah, they have. They have.
Yeah. Like a lot of good games.
But that's like, it was like a couple years before I was like, oh, I think the game I played the most this year was Simpsons Tapped Out.
Oh my God, I remember that year.
It's just like,
because you were an addict.
Yeah. I put Neko Atsumi Kitty Collector on my game of the year. Like, mm-hmm. I've been playing that game.
Why do you and Andrew never talk about that?
It's all he does.
It's a shameful hobby.
We do, but we talk about it and weird. It's like also I name all my cats weird stuff, like big legs and the
why did you name it big legs? Oh, the gooch.
Yeah, no, just like weird.
So how did you vote? Were you one of the only ones in this room that voted?
Did you guys vote? I don't know if you were.
I
were you even here?
I wasn't here when you were voting for ones that were to be considered, okay. But when I got
the nominees.
Okay, yeah,
gotcha.
But then I voted for the nominees that had been pre-selected.
Gotcha. Oh, I wanted to say real quick, too, like, the way we all filled this form out, there were tons of questions that I just straight up didn't answer, which is totally okay.
So we go on
like,
the IRC system.
Have you ever been convicted of a felony?
Yeah. How do you do a cool kiss?
No, that's really good, though, because then, you know, if you hadn't played a sports game and you had to give a throwaway vote, that was...
Oh, no, I mean, what we do is we leave genres like racing and strategy and sports to the strategy people racing and sports fans at IGN and across the UK, the AU, and here.
Our sports game was Rocket League, correct? Like, that was our sports game of the year.
So that's awesome.
Because we are a bunch of dorks in a building together.
It's
hiding
a really
from,
good
from
game.
The jocks.
God, Rocket League is one of those games I wish I could have got into, but I just couldn't. I don't know if it's the Rockets or the leagues.
I mean, I was making fun of the fact that it's not a sport.
It's kind of like soccer.
It's not really.
It's going to be a real sport.
It's the best racing game and the best sports game because finally the cars learned how to play soccer.
Yeah.
Finally.
My votes, I did Bloodborne at 1, Tales from the Borderlands at 2, and Tomb Raider at 3. Mm-hmm. And I think my two favorite games that weren't nominated, totally echoing Until Dawn, and Lara Croft Go. Those were not nominated for Game of the Year.
For Game of the Year, right. Yeah, Lara Croft Go was great.
Yeah.
I think it won our iPhone Game of the Year, right?
Yep, won our mobile Game of the Year.
Part of me wants to say Grim Fandango as well, but that doesn't seem
I mean, Grim Fandango is literally my favorite game of all time, so that doesn't even, I don't think that counts.
Lara Croft Go is coming to consoles this year, right?
No, Hitman Go is coming to consoles. God. I imagine Lara Croft Go is coming to consoles.
That's a good assumption. I would say by the end of the year, you're probably going to be able to play Lara Croft Go.
Did I read this right, that Ali 2 was our best handheld?
Yep, was our best Vita game. Ali 2, and then...
How many Vita games were up there? Like, what did people...
Dancing All Night.
It was a weird list.
I think it was a short list. Yeah. And then Tales from the Borderlands won our best PS3 game of the year.
Huh.
Yeah, we did it.
Which, interesting.
That'll probably be the last year we ever do best PS3.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, for last-gen consoles, this might be the last year we do that.
Yeah,
I have a feeling with our top... What is it? Top 20 list we do in the
top
fall?
Top 25.
Top 25s for consoles?
We're doing them again in February.
But I think we retire the...
As of right now, we're currently retiring PS3 and 360.
Yeah, those are locked in. So enjoy those lists forever, because I don't think they're changing.
Well,
I imagine some lists. I imagine the Vita and Wii U list won't change much this year either.
Yeah. Womp womp.
Ali 2 was an awesome Vita game in that it was totally free when it came out.
Yep.
Like it basically was announced and released for free at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I never played Ali 2.
It's fun.
It is crack. It is so much fun.
Yeah.
I think Hotline Miami 2 was nominated for Vita, was it?
Probably.
Yeah.
Is that just out last year?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We all forgot about it.
Yeah.
Because that was one of those games, I don't know anyone who finished it. I just know people stopped playing.
I love Hotline Miami 1, and I didn't feel like I needed another one.
Yeah.
And maybe I'd play it in 3 years or something, but this soon I'm like, I don't need another one.
I just want to see what those guys do. I want them to do something else.
I mean, how many people you know played Metal Gear Solid for the PlayStation 1? Everybody, right? Like, how many people played VR Missions and beat it?
Exactly.
If VR Missions had a story, that would be Hotline Miami 2.
Yeah.
It was basically an expansion pack that took the same stuff and kind of shook it up. Let's talk about... Let's talk about VR porn.
Real quick, warning. If you're underage, we're going to try to keep this, like, PG-ish as possible.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, this is not usually a ground that we cover here on IGN, but we figured if we're going to throw it on a podcast, it's kind of an interesting way to do it.
Well, and also we spent time to go see this thing, and we really couldn't cover it anywhere else on IGN, so I'm like, well, I don't want to waste an hour of all of our lives and not be able to talk about it, because we had super interesting discussions internally about it.
So three of us internally. Damn it.
Wow, we made it so far.
So far.
All right, next topic. Moving on.
Three of us in a hotel suite in Las Vegas, brought to you by a company called Naughty America, which produces...
You've been a bad America, haven't
they
you?
They produce adult video content for the internet. Invited us to a suite in which we were
ate
given...
Ate a lot of bread.
Ate a lot of bread and sausages and cheeses and had some drinks. And we were
real
given...
real sausage fest, huh?
Don't do it. And we were given a VR headset, which was the Samsung VR. Gear VR. And we were shown three vignettes, I guess you would call
them. You and I were shown three vignettes. Yeah. Alana saw something else.
Oh, interesting.
And I also saw that.
Okay. We were shown three vignettes, and some other people saw other things. They were basically like quick schematic scenes of what VR porn would look
like. Yeah, so a couple things. When I tweeted out that I saw it and that I didn't like it, it was not computer generated. It was live action.
Yeah,
it was filmed
with a
camera.
I was totally expecting it to be computer generated.
Oh, were you really?
Yeah.
I was sort of expecting that too.
Yeah.
That's probably way more work than
putting
a GoPro on a girl's head.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how they did it.
I mean, I think they put a GoPro on
it. It's
like a 3D camera.
It's like if the Google Maps car was
Okay, well, there's the first.
Well, we had a good run.
It's making your job harder.
Yeah. Okay, so...
So it's like point of view of... The idea would be that whoever has the camera on them is laying down, and then there's other people that walk into the room.
So both, all three of the videos that I starred in as the male protagonist.
Yeah, you had so many cool muscles.
I was basically, so you start off, and you're basically just a guy who is bolted to a couch. You can't move. You can't move your arms. You can't move your
legs. These are not interactive. All it is you have 100, and I guess, is this 180 degree view? Yeah. So you're able to look in any direction. You can't look behind you, but you're able to look up, down, left,
which,
right.
Which, interestingly enough, is like the most limited VR experience I think I've ever had. You can't move. You can't look around. It's like black if you try and look beyond your peripherals.
That's
and
exactly it. It actually, it felt like looking into like a diorama. Where if you looked all the way to the left,
it
was
looks
just
like a fake set in a movie.
It was just black all the way to the left. So, I mean, if you're listening to the show right now, look all the way left, look all the way right, look all the way up, look all the way down. That is your entire periphery. Mm-hmm. Now, immediately you look down and you go, oh, I have like these muscular arms with some gross tattoos on them. That's not me. So it almost immediately yanks you out of it. And like you see his...
I have some gross tattoos on my muscular arms.
This guy had even worse ones, and you don't have muscular arms.
Yeah.
Very small muscles, okay?
Okay. Well, this guy had very...
How am I doing this? I'm lifting my arm up. It's not magic.
Nick, okay, if this is an audio show, Max is trying to lift his arm up and
very weak,
and he's crying. So you're this guy, and this girl walks in, and she's just like, hey, whatever your name is, it's your birthday, and I just want to, you know, I got you a special present. And then, like, it jump cuts, like there was a commercial break, and another girl comes in. And both of these ladies, they start going to town all over your dangus. And at this point, they come over, and they pull out your schwants, and they start kissing all over the kneecaps and the legs and the muscle stuff. And you've got a big rocket up in the air, and they're really going all over it. But it keeps hopping around, so you're not really like, oh, I'm doing this. You almost feel like something is happening to me, and all I can do is move my head. So in a very limited way, it kind of feels like when you're having one of those, like, nightmares, like where
you can't move your body.
Where you can't move your body, and you can't scream, but you can move your head.
Yeah,
and look
or it's
around.
Like that Javier Bardem movie, The Sea Inside, where he's like fully conscious of what's happening around him, but he has no way to communicate or interact with the world.
They did a what is it? What was it? Tales from the Crypt episode like this, where a guy dies and he's alive and conscious throughout his entire funeral process, and they bring him to the hospital and the all that.
Was there also a giant 70-foot naked woman who straddled him?
Yeah. So here's the thing. These women, once they got really up and personal with you, at one point gets up to kind of, you know, mount you, and you look up at her, and she looks gigantic.
Yeah.
Like, it's sort of like the shark in the Back to the Future 2 poster, like the Jaws 3D that just, like, pops out on the entire
street.
Yeah,
they had huge issues with scale of things the closer they were.
Yeah. It sounds like porn. Like,
yeah.
Also, VR. That's also a VR problem.
Yeah.
Like a VR problem in general, scale.
Yeah. I still feel like this is the worst of it that I've seen, but it's also probably one of the only times that I've had a person come really close to me in VR.
Yeah, so to paint the picture a little better, this was not something, like this was not an experience that I was aroused by any means. I was sort of curious by it because it was an interesting perspective to have on a scenario like this. But I was in a room with 15 to 20 mostly men. Who were just sort of having drinks and sitting around.
Yeah,
and
there were three women who were hired.
Yeah, they were reading
nice
like the press release on this thing, which is like, it's very odd because
the press release was really well written. I was like, this sounds great.
It's weird for me because I've been working in the video game industry for like 10 years now. Mm. And to look at parts of this press release and be like, oh, Hookers 2. They're talking about this movie title like it's Ali Ali 2, you know, and it's like for immediate release.
Casual.
And I was like, this is the first time you'll ever see for immediate release and be like,
12 years after the events of Hookers.
Yeah, exactly. Like we saw a video called Two Chicks Same Time, which is not even like they didn't even fill in the words in that sentence that would not two chicks at the or anything like that, or let's blank two chicks at the same time.
It sounds like if a really
blank,
like
regular pancakes,
like a really dumb dude made an art house film.
Yeah. 100%.
I don't know.
It was weird.
Yeah, I don't know if this was because of like, I mean, I don't know. It just wasn't, to me, it wasn't erotic. It wasn't interesting. And I don't see myself ever using this.
Right.
Can we just take one quick moment here to say that this is a PlayStation podcast? Porn will never come to PlayStation VR officially.
Not officially.
Not officially. I imagine PSVR will get jailbroken at some point.
Yeah.
But also, I imagine there will be those. I mean, we've already seen there's videos of developers in Japan who are developing like dating sims or those kind of things.
Well, dead or alive.
Yeah.
Nod your head to go on a date with this girl.
There's websites you can visit on your 3DS that will show you pictures or videos in 3D that aren't officially sanctioned or licensed by Nintendo. Mm-hmm. They'll never put that kind of stuff out, but you can find that stuff. And that's not necessarily porn. That's just like a picture of a schooner or whatever. I think that's kind of a big problem. Marty and I were talking about this. Schooners, too. Schooners, one bay. Marty and I were talking about
two schooners same time.
Damn it. What was that joke? Two
nice
schooners?
Junk. It's a kind of boat, okay?
We were talking about this at CES. I think as much as we were weirded out by it, and we'll continue the impressions here, this is going to be a thing that Sony completely misses out on with the PS4, with the PlayStation VR.
Best thing they could do, and they did a smart thing with this with the controller, is make the PlayStation VR functional with PCs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that's going to happen, but that's how you take a little nibble out of the rest of the market.
Yeah, but that would affect their sales. I'm like, well, it wouldn't. It would make more people buy the PSVR.
Yeah. Right.
It's not going to affect PS4 sales.
Yeah.
No. Whatsoever.
At all. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so ultimately I felt like I was looking into this weird room that this guy was in, and I wasn't him, and I didn't feel that connection. I've played so many other VR games where I'm like, I am the protagonist right now, and I didn't feel that way. I felt like I got hit with a tranquilizer
because
dart.
Because you're looking at someone who's not you, but it's supposed to be.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can't move, and I can't function. I can't. Things were just happening to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not like, in the interest of honesty, I'm not crazy about POV stuff to begin with. Like, so this was just weird, and all this stuff's just happening to you. And you're just kind of laying there, and like that's.
I don't think there's any other way that they could do it either.
I know.
It's
got
to all be that way.
Yeah,
I'd like to be one where you play as the cameraman.
I mean, no.
You just go around and you're like, excuse me, move your leg. You're doing it too loud.
We have like a rating.
No, you knocked over a lamp.
You
got
to
try that again.
Micromanage.
Yeah.
I mean, there is the other way you could, like, we played Vive, which is the Valve HTC VR headset, and you're able to walk around a 3D space.
Yes.
Like. It could kind of work like that, mm-hmm. Like almost like you are actually walking around a film set.
I don't think it could. So when I was reading this press release, I was like, it sold it to me. It was like, I feel like this is actually going to be good for the porn industry, and maybe this is the thing that could make sure that VR is going to be mainstream, mm-hmm. so that mm-hmm. it can stay and I can get all the games that I want forever. Thanks.
Well, they were very adamant about how the adult entertainment industry has always been at the forefront of technology, right?
Yeah.
When it came to HD and 4K and 3D.
When it came to VHS, like part of the reason VHS was a success
or
was
even
because
the internet, the internet period, you know?
Yeah.
So I was
streaming.
Thinking that exact same thing about VR, and then I tried it, and you guys all tried it, and nobody enjoyed it. And I don't think it's a taste thing. I just feel like it just didn't work. The fact that it's not interactive at all, and it's it was gross.
Now you
got
to play. You got to play from a different perspective.
I was
right?
playing from a female perspective, whereas you guys were from a male perspective.
The female.
which I found it terrifying and gross.
Yeah, because things really were just happening to you, right?
Exactly, which is like female's worst nightmare. Basically, is to like be in a room with some dude you don't know who's covered in muscles. And
was
gross
it because,
tattoos
was,
just like just coming at your body and doing whatever he wants. And
was
not,
it did it not announce that it's your birthday? Was it?
Well, no, he didn't. So screw that. I'm out.
That sucks.
So
you didn't even pretend it's your birthday.
Yeah, you didn't even get a sliver of false narrative like we did as men, right? Which is just
there was dialogue, but I couldn't understand any of it.
Hi, Bobby.
I didn't hear any of it.
Hey, I heard good news. I ordered a pizza for both of us.
I'm here for the one hot
female.
Simulator sounds amazing.
Where is the female girl laying on the couch? I want to have sex.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Yeah, I mean, I also, after I played the demo, Brandon,
I stopped because it made me really uncomfortable, which is apparently the same reaction that all women who try it have, which obviously it's designed by dudes for dudes.
Yeah.
And so I laughed uncomfortably and then eventually had to take it off because I was way too uncomfortable. And the guy was like, yeah, all women do that. Beforehand, he was
maybe
like,
beta
you're probably
it?
Not going to enjoy that. He was like, this is really hardcore. You're probably not going to like it. You still want to try it. I was like, I'll give it a try. But I took it off and gave it to Marty. And
so Marty loved it. He was all about it.
He said to you that most females don't like it?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah. No. Well, actually, what he said was females all have the exact same reaction I had.
So make a version of it that they don't and then drag it out.
I don't think they need to because of the whole like 85% of porn viewers are male thing. So they're like, we don't need you.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I finished off the rest of that demo that you watched, Roll for Lucas, and like the kernel of anything interesting I found in this was the fact that we talked about this a lot during.
Howdy, y'all. I'm the kernel of anything interesting.
I'm the kernel of interesting visual novel pornography.
Now, a virtual pornograph sounds like a pretty interesting thing to me.
Oh,
I mean,
this is my good friend, generally speaking.
It would have even been more interesting if it was like choice based.
Yes. If anything, if
like
there was
any
sort of agency.
What if she was like, hey, do you want me to do this? And if you nodded your head, like that happened. Like anything that's sort of like.
Yeah. The most rudimentary choose your own adventure.
Because I feel like that would have taken out the really gross part for me, which was just like a simulated complete lack of consent.
Well, and so the consent thing also doubles with the fact that it's like, I don't know, when you're doing stuff like that in real life, like you're kind of more into it than just like, yeah, baby, I do not move.
Today is my birthday. I want to have two chicks in my house.
That whole thing made me think it was more of an observational experience than intended to be.
But you couldn't even
ironic.
Like lift up your hand
no,
and
you
like you know you couldn't do anything. Like you couldn't.
Yeah, I don't know. It was like watching that Prodigy Smack My Bitch Up video where it's like first person, but there's a lack of agency. And you're just watching terrible things happen. You're like, why do I keep throwing up? But at least at the end of that, you find out you're a girl, and you're like, that's
you spoiled the whole 3 minute video.
Yeah. What are you doing? Are you stealing my phone?
So, I'm just gonna check time. VR porn, real curious thing. We still don't know what's going to be on PlayStation VR. I think that if they make it functional with PC stuff, that it would be real smart.
To tie this back to games, I think the limitations on this thing were kind of indicative of the kind of limitations we might have in first person. Damn it, in first person sort of environments in general on the Rift and on the Vive and on the PlayStation VR that without like dedicated controllers in your hands, which you obviously can't be holding while enjoying VR porn at the same time. Also, like, do you take the helmet off with your weird hand after you're done? I don't know. So many questions. Yeah. But I think there's a lot of issues in terms of how first-person experiences are going to control.
I mean, I've had other, like, first-person viewing experiences, like PSVR has The Deep.
Yeah.
And that affected me tons. And then I was really interested in the environment. There's a shock that shows up. Like, someone was filming me while I was playing that.
Yeah. I hate that
thing.
It's
weird calling it playing. But my body language when I saw the shock went from like me just kind of casually looking around to like I moved my
super
feet
tense.
And shuttled and then like I just tensed up. And I was like, that obviously affected me a lot.
Yeah.
And I would do that in other things. Like if it was just a 3D environment that I can look around in, then I don't think that's, if it's in first person, it's an observational experience.
Yep.
It's like you wandering a new city. And I think that's cool. Porn, for whatever reason, was not like that whatsoever. Probably because nothing you're looking at is interesting or realistic or, I don't know. The whole room was just dumb.
I found myself looking around the room. Like we were cracking jokes afterwards about how the guy had three TVs.
A lot of TVs.
Yeah.
I had a sculpting class in college. I went to art school in New York City, and one of my first week there, they brought me into the sculpting class, and they put this like sort of like Lazy Susan or whatever on the table. What are those things? Those like
Lazy Susan that spins around.
Yeah, that spins around, and they put a naked man on it, mm-hmm. and he was like a 90-year-old man, and I was like. Not homophobic, but I was like, that's kind of
like
gross.
A spinning naked man?
Yeah, so they spun him around, and he put his, you know, nuts and gazongas right in my face. And I had to start building him out of clay, and I got so kind of weirded out by the entire experience that I just started working on the piping and light fixtures up in the corner of the studio, which was like in this dingy basement in New York City, like this old art studio. So I the teacher came around and I had a stick figure on a chair, and then like this incredibly ornate, immaculately sculpted version of the piping and lighting and heater system on top. And he's like, wow, you really went detailed on the environment, but you didn't really do much on the main character. And I was just like, yeah.
That's weird.
And I found myself in VR porn looking around this guy's apartment being like, what kind of furniture does this guy have? It's like, where does that door go? Can I see into the hallway? Like he had three TVs, and one was here, one was here, one was here, and stacked on top of each other in like a Triforce. And I was like, oh, he could play all three game consoles at the same time. That's really cool.
I don't know if it was because of the environment that we were in, but you guys definitely looked around a lot. I feel like I did as well. It's like we spent a lot more time looking around when
legitimately
you should just look forward.
Legitimately, I found the environment more interesting than the
which says a lot that if you're so bored by the main characters in a 3 minute video that you need to start looking around, then I mean, maybe it's
probably
not
great.
Yeah,
this doesn't sound like
also,
it was great.
Also, women are terrified of it.
Yeah,
it's made by a porn site.
Yeah,
I mean, it's sort of like if bears got together and built a car, it probably wouldn't be a great car.
Yeah,
You know, it's not their area of expertise. They're good at getting honeybee nests out of the tree by disguising themselves as old weather cloud and using balloons to get up there.
But these bears over at Naughty America make cars all the time. They're just...
You know, Naughty America was actually the original name of Yellowstone National Park.
Yeah, that's true.
We're going to call it Naughty America because it had that suggestive geyser. All right.
God, and now for the weirdest transition
the
of the day.
The world's worst segue beside that weird, stupid two-wheeled car.
Do we have time? We're
good? It doesn't matter.
Okay. in all seriousness, David Bowie passed away this week, and I'm sure everyone's like, oh, they're being topical. David Bowie is just an astoundingly influential figure in popular culture.
Yes. Across pretty much every medium.
Yes. Yeah. Kind of bizarre when I just started going down the checklist in my head, because I never considered myself like a really big Bowie fan, mm-hmm. but like he's just popped up in everything.
Sure.
Impossible to have missed his influence in some way.
Yeah, his influence in music is obvious. His influence is in fashion and in free speech and just being yourself and being weird is obvious. He's been in a ton of amazing movies. But we also want to talk a little bit about the fact that he left an impact on games.
Yeah.
And you might not realize it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He did the soundtrack and played two characters in David Cage and Quantic Dream's original game, which is called Omicron the Nomad Soul, which came out in 1999. You can go back and check it out. It was on the Dreamcast. It's on Steam right
now.
It's super cheap.
It's a ridiculous title, though.
It's a really bad title.
Omicron the Nomad Soul?
Also,
I thought Robinson the Journey was bad. Yeah. Like, how about Omicron?
What about, was it Detroit the Beyonding, or what is that new game called? Detroit colon the something.
Oh, so like two-fourths of David Cage's games or whatever have the word soul in them?
Yep.
That's odd.
Congrats, man. It was the first time. And the reason, interestingly enough, he decided to do the game was because his son, who is Duncan Jones, who's the director who directed Moon and Source Code and is directing
Warcraft
right now, was a huge gamer at the time. And he convinced David Bowie to really take a big role in the game. And afterwards, Bowie said, quote, "What we're trying to do more than anything else was provide an emotional heart to the game, because the one thing that I find going through games that I've viewed before we started work is a lot of games have a really cold emotional drive."
Yeah,
which I think is super interesting, especially in 99, like especially in those early sort of like the PS1 era. Like I think that's a really sort of fascinating outlook on games. And then, aside from David Bowie tracks being featured in numerous, I'm sure Tony Hawk games and Rock Band and Karaoke Revolution and everything. Kojima is one of those people who's...
There's actually an image floating around where
every character.
Every character is David Bowie.
Yeah.
Yeah. David Bowie's in every video game.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But he's also like every character in Metal Gear.
Yeah. Specifically, they all look like eye patches and the weird haircuts and all that stuff.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, I set Man Who Sold the World to my helicopter theme song for like a good 20 hours of that game, so I heard it a billion times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My first exposure to that song specifically was through Nirvana Unplugged.
Yeah.
Which was
I think a lot of us were. Yeah.
I think hit a lot of us at the exact time we needed it most in middle school or high school or whatever. Like that was such a seminal album.
Yeah.
His influence has been incredible, and you have to dig around a little bit sometimes to find it. But
Marty did some digging.
I did some digging.
Like
we did a bunch
dog.
Of things. Like a real diamond dog.
Let's talk about the diamond dogs.
I mean, diamond dogs.
Diamond, yeah.
First and foremost, like the name Diamond Dogs, which obviously permeates all through.
If you somehow missed this, the thing you play as, the head of the Diamond Dogs in the Phantom Pain, is a David Bowie album.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. In Snake Eater, Major Zero adopts the codename Major Tom, which is obviously the main character of Space Oddity. And throughout, like the entire game, there are references to the song Space Oddity. In Metal Gear Solid 2, when Raiden goes through his weird naked phase, Rose tells him that she reminds him of an androgynous David Bowie. Like every character from the boss to, I mean, Snake himself at certain points, like are modeled after, because Bowie is this transformative figure who throughout the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, even up until his death earlier this week, like continued to morph and continue to change and evolve as a person and an artist.
He put out an album a week ago.
He put out an album a week ago that was pretty much saying goodbye.
Yeah. It sounds like the music from like the tail end of Cowboy Bebop. Like
which is so sad and somber and
it's this weird kind of like somber rock crossed with jazz. But I mean, I think that Bowie is such a great example of somebody who is not threatened by change
at all.
Just totally embraces it.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know. That's cool. I mean, we're touching on it on a video game podcast. I'm sure somebody's real pissed off about that.
Well, no, I think it's very important that like video games carry that mantra of sort of like be experimental, be weird, be different. Like the thing that people hate the most in video games is when they are stale and annualized and repetitive. And the people like the thing people want the most is fresh new ideas. And I don't think anybody music-wise has ever done that the way Bowie has, where he constantly reinvented himself. It reminds me of like when we grew up playing NES games and Zelda 1 and Zelda 2 were completely different games. Yeah. Castlevania 1 and Castlevania 2 were completely different games. Mm-hmm. Like I want to see that more in games, you know? Yeah. I mean, this show itself is a weird reboot of the old show. Like I like seeing basically the vessel is more important than the things inside it. You know, you can constantly keep changing and evolving.
Yeah.
One more I wanted to add was at the end of 2014, a game called Zeo Drifter came out that I did the ending credits for. Yeah.
And Collusion.
Collusion. It's on PS4 and Vita. The ending credits is actually a cover of David Bowie's As the World Falls Down from the Labyrinth soundtrack, which is one of my favorite movies growing up. So go find that. It's free. Dig that up.
David Bowie didn't sue you, so, you know.
No.
Man, he was
congrats, man.
Cool guy.
You did it.
Did it.
Now it's time for Rapid Fire.
All right.
Okay.
Everybody's quickest favorite time of the week. This is Rapid Fire, and I'm Brian Altano.
Quickest
favorite? I love video games. And if you love video games, you should go to facebook.com/group/podcastbeyond. We have over 10,500 members in there.
10,400, 500.
Yeah, amazing.
That's a great new number that you made up right there.
Amazing moderators who just do the coolest job of making that place very, very passionate, very fun, and clean. You know, it's never too dangerous.
They never talk about VR porn in there. It's real good.
That's
real good.
That's our job over here. So anyway, every week I ask you to give me some quick questions, and we read them on the show for the whole cast to respond to. Jason Pilcher says, how excited are you for South Park, The Fractured Butthole? I asked this. That's the actual title. I know you looked at me like that. It's The Fractured Butthole. I ask this every time.
She's like the only one here who actually watches South Park.
I ask this every time hoping you'll mention the podcast. Jason, you're in luck. This is the time we're doing it. I cannot wait for this game.
Yeah. I loved the first one. The only issue I had was like a minor mechanics issue where there was a weird lag on combat. And that a lot of the items, you knew whatever was going to work the best because it would tell you really blatantly.
Right,
so there was no real RPG choice. But aside from that, I loved it, and
I mean,
I'm so happy.
Yeah, it had the problems that Obsidian games have, which now that this is being developed internally at Ubisoft, it's being developed actually at Ubisoft SF, which is a block away from us, which is cool. Hmm. I'm super stoked for it. I thought the first one was awesome.
Yeah.
It was great. And I hope this is, again, another 10-12-hour RPG because I don't want to
play
games.
Did you play South Park?
No, I didn't actually.
I feel like it was a really good length, actually.
Yeah, that's a perfect length.
And good variety of boss fights and environments. Mm-hmm. Like Canada was amazing.
Canada was the best. I don't know how you top that. Mexico.
It'd be tough.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly thought Matt and Trey would never do a video game again after the arduous
totally doing this one.
That was the last one. But yeah, they put so much of themselves into that game.
Yeah.
The fact that, I had friends just people playing it at work. You would walk by and be like, is he just watching South Park at his desk?
It's so well done.
Yeah. Nathaniel McCain says, what games do you believe may be delayed to 2017? Now, we talked about that for sort of first-party stuff, but what about
Horizon.
Anything?
Yeah, we touched on Horizon. I mean, the first delay of the year was it's an Xbox One game, but Scalebound already got delayed a week ago.
By a whole year.
And they said, hey, it's not coming out in 2016. I'm like, whoa, you got to that one real early.
Starting the year off on the right foot.
I think Ukulele is supposed to come out this year. I think that's probably going to be next year.
I completely agree with you, and that breaks my heart, but we'll give them...
Side note, did you guys read about the Kickstarter Midori, which was basically a 2D Link to the Past type game?
Hmm.
The guy is refunding everyone who Kickstarted it
because
he can't make it.
Damn.
It fell apart.
That's really depressing.
He's just like, everyone gets their money back. I'm not a thief.
Wow, that's
I know a lot of Kickstarters go south. I think that's... I mean, it's obviously not the best scenario, but it's a way better scenario than just like, hey, got your money, see ya, I'm going to the Cayman Islands.
I think what happens with some of them is they're like, I used all the money on resources and I couldn't make it anyway. And like, Kickstarter's just such a risky thing to do, but that's really nice.
Totally.
Yeah.
Any other
I think Horizon, I think we're going to find out a lot more of them. Like, games will get announced in the coming months or even at E3 that are supposed to be fall games that won't be.
Matthew Fosberry, and so he says, what games do you play to cheer yourselves up? Additionally, Jerry Young says, what are jolly games that when you play them, they just make you smile? And I like Jerry's remix of Matthew's question here because he put in the word jolly.
Yeah.
So what's your sort of like cheer up comfort food games, the ones that make you, like, you're in a, it's a rainy day, a crappy time, and you're just like, I'm going to boot this up and play for a little while.
Mine are some of my old favorite colorful games, Banjo-Kazooie, yeah. Katamari Damacy, Mario World.
Do you think the aesthetic is a big part of that? Like,
yeah,
having something kind of happy and jolly?
I would definitely say that with Banjo, but usually, like, if it's a rainy day, I play a lot of Fallout just because I like to get lost in it. It's not that it makes me happy,
right.
It's just like, I will get lost in this world.
Because you know you're not like gonna really have a challenging boss fight or
as Wasteland is another one. It looks sad and it's not happy. It's really devastating and hard, but it's just a nice thing to kind of get lost in that world. But Banjo totally makes me happy.
Yeah.
The music.
It's kind of a weird bittersweet thing where like I'll frequently go back to like nostalgic stuff. Like I'll play Link to the Past or something like that, and it's like that. It can be tough because it'll be like, oh, this reminds me of happier times. And I'm like, oh, that's depressing, you know?
Yeah.
True.
I think I've played the first 2 hours of Link to the Past 200 times, and I've probably finished the game 5.
You've watched your stupid uncle die all the time?
Yeah, all the time.
I have actually been playing Wind Waker a bit lately. And
that's a perfect one.
It's a beautiful game, and everything about it is happy, and it's one of the only games where I will just happily leave the music on while I'm doing other things because it's just so happy.
That's because you want to watch those weird idol animations.
A lot of weird idol animations.
And final question of the week comes from Mike Candelora. He says, Powerball is up to about $1 billion. What would you do with all that money? For our foreign listeners, Powerball is a gigantic lottery scheme in which millions of people give a dollar each to hopefully win anything and usually get nothing. But $1 billion is kind of an insurmountable amount of money. I saw in the podcast group there was a topic about the Powerball in general, and some people said, well, I'd pay off my house, and I'd get, like, a cool new special edition PS4, and I'm just kind of like, dream bigger.
Yeah, might it all be real estate. Buy a bunch of houses around the world.
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it. Travel and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would
you guys still come to work?
Yeah, I wouldn't quit my job. That's why I wouldn't travel. I'd buy real estate instead.
Because I love what I get to do, and I have a feeling that if I came into work, no one would take me seriously anymore. I couldn't put my foot down on anything.
Or you could never complain. You couldn't be like, man, that meeting sucked. And be like, oh, well, what if you just buy another meeting?
Oh, yeah. Why are you here?
I would fund movies and games. Yeah. I would give artists that I love money to make awesome things.
Like, Alana, you had to take a van to Las Vegas because your flight got canceled. If you were a billionaire in the back of that van about it, people would have First of all, private jet. Yeah, I guess you wouldn't even go in the van.
There is no way you could make me go in that van if I could have
afforded
something better.
Yeah.
No way.
Fair enough.
It sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could buy that van and beat it up with a bat like Stephen King did to that van.
Maybe I would do that.
A bat
could
be made of diamonds.
Like if I were a billionaire next year, I would track down that specific van and beat it up.
Really?
Yeah. It's not the van's fault. You should track you know what you should do? Get enough money to change weather. To defeat weather, because that's what
I don't know if $1 billion is quite enough.
Now, if
to
you
do that.
If you throw enough dollars into the sky, all the rain will clog them up, and then we don't have to worry about tornadoes.
Yeah, they made a movie about that. I think. All right. I'd buy a new house and I'd renovate it to look like a house from Star Wars. Like I would just make it set dressed to look like a bunch of different Star Wars locations.
I'd buy a new house and make it look like that guy's house from the pornography that had 3 TVs.
I was going to say the only house.
You buy 3 TVs.
Woohoo! A billionaire with 3 whole televisions.
Oh boy! All right. So on that note, we're gonna wrap things up. Man, I hope there's some more cool stuff to talk about next week. I hope that they keep having news about the game that we like to play on Computer Box called PlayStation.
Are you all right?
Real good time.
That's a stroke.
2 chicks same time. Hookers 2. Titular Hooker. Hooker 1 is back.
I didn't even say the third title.
Her sister is back.
Years later.
You can't say the third title.
I can't say the third title. It's really funny. Can I say it? Can we censor?
I don't know if you're allowed to
censor the first word. All right.
Omicron.
Nomad Soul.
Anal Opera.
Oh, you can totally say anal
opera. No, you can't.
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Well, ending on a high note.
Just like
thank you for listening to Podcast Beyond. You can find us all on Twitter.
The class note.
I'm Max Scoville. Marty is McBiggity with 2 G's and 2 T's. Alana, you're Charlanazard? That's always so hard to say.
That's
cool. Put in C-H-A-R.
So it's the most famous Digimon, but with your name in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Cactus with a sombrero hat. That's Digimon and a monster.
Is that a real
picture.
Digimon?
Yeah.
And then Brian is Agent Bizzle. If you like what we do, hop over to the Facebook group. That is facebook.com/group/podcastbeyond. Mm-hmm. And, make some friends in there. They're all a good group of folks.
Yeah, if you want more dumb stuff, watch Max and I on Up at Noon every Thursday at noon, live on IGN or wherever, your videos are found.
And we're all very goofy people who had way too much caffeine today. We'll be back next week with better words to rub together into form of sentences.
Beyond.
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 Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics, and sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.